Morning. What a beautiful, lovely, intimidating looking bunch of people you are. Excuse me if my voice sounds shaky or my hand is shaking, because I do feel nervous. And I've been up here several times before, but it doesn't stop me from feeling that way sometimes. But anywho. I just want to open up in prayer. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for this weekend, and I thank you for everything that you accomplished for us, Lord. I thank you for all the freedom that these women have, that we all have, Lord. Everything that you've done on the cross, Lord Father, so that we can have access to all these beautiful things in life, Lord. And I pray today that you would just plant a seed of vision in every single person, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I really feel that God got glorified this weekend and still is now. So for the woman that went to the encounter, you all have freedom. You got a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit last night. So you're topped up. You're ready to go. You're ready to go back home. You're ready to go back to work and out into the world to take Jesus with you. But you have to maintain your freedom, because he done it all for you. So he's done everything for you. He's given it to you freely. But now it's your responsibility to maintain what you have right now, because the enemy, you know, he comes to steal. He'll try to steal it from you. And then you're going to end. Don't let him steal what you have. And it's really important for you to know the dangers of an empty house, because if you don't stay filled up, he will come back. But it'll be worse for you than before, because that's what the word says in the book of Matthew, danger of an empty house. You can look that one up. So when the demons get swept out, if the house is empty, or if you don't keep yourself topped up, you'll become empty, and then they can come back in, but then they grab seven others. Then the person is worse off than before. But they can't come back if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you can continue to be filled up with the things of God more and more. And though no demon can come. No demon can take occupancy in your house, because you're a temple of the living God. You belong to God. But yeah, don't let no squatters come up in your house. So that's how you got to maintain your freedom. Now, where to from here? So you have to, this is step one. Step one is you got to go and you got to tell people about what he done for you. Over this weekend, what did you get set free from? What were you carrying on Friday morning before you went to Padua Bay, and what are you not carrying now? And it's a process as well, so some things you won't notice instantly. But whatever you may have gotten delivered from, make sure that you stay delivered. Don't go back to those things. Don't go back into slavery for whatever it was. Repentance is important. You got to walk in repentance to maintain the freedom as well. So you got to testify to people, let them know who Jesus is, what did he do for you. And you know, your testimony carries mighty power in it. And when you're walking in that testimony, it's living, it's alive. So everybody that you tell that to, it has elements of power to give them hope. And then they can come even to know who Jesus is through you telling what he's done for you. And they might not have heard before. So you have that responsibility. You got to tell the people, and you got to live that and walk it. Walk it out. Because there's no use telling somebody something and you've gone back to it. You know, because that's not, nah, don't do that. Okay, so in the book of Luke it says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. But it also says, woe to the man who does not testify. So make sure you tell people. Okay, step two, you got to preach the gospel. That is something, that is a job, a task that you have for God while you're here. You got to go out and tell people about Jesus, because you know there's a big illusion out there in the world where people think, a lot of people think that when you die, you have an invisible spirit that goes straight to heaven. And that's only true for some people. But then there's a hell as well, and some people go there too. But we don't want people to go there. We have to remember that people are going there, even people that we love and care about, friends and family. If we don't preach the gospel to them and we don't show them an example of God's love, they could go there too. Our love for them doesn't stop them from going there. They have to come to the knowledge of Jesus. And they got to accept him and accept his love. And if they don't accept his love, that's where they go. And that's sad. I don't even like thinking about that. But you have to think about that sometimes, because that puts a bit of fear in you. That will help motivate you. Because that's the purpose of preaching the gospel, is to help people get saved so that they can live the next life forever in relationship with him, because hell's not a good place. Besides all the fire and the clenching of teeth and the screaming and all of that, there's no love there, there's no God. That would be awful. So you got to preach the gospel. In the book of Mark it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So who do you preach the gospel to? Just anybody and everybody. Let those who have ears hear. So whoever's willing to listen, tell them. Now step three, you got to be a good witness. You got to be a good witness and representative of Jesus, because you can't go telling people all about him, but you ain't walking that walk. Because you are the light of the earth. That's what he says. You are the light of the earth. And you got to be salty, so you got to be well seasoned. You have influence over people, good influence. Even if you think you don't, you do. But you got to let that mean something and take it seriously. Your walk, it's serious business, because you know it's your soul, it's other people's souls. That's serious business. You got to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And you've been called to do great things, not just, you know, preach the gospel, not just live a life of freedom and abundance. There's other things too. Like, everybody has a purpose on this earth, and my purpose would be different to Brian's purpose or to Pastor Mike's purpose. But then we all have things that we need to do together as well. You know, like God's work, we got to do that, and everybody's the same. It doesn't matter whether you're a new believer or you've been in the Lord for 20 or 30 or 40 years. We all got to do this. We all got to go out and preach the word. We got to love people. But, you know, the two things we got to do is love God first, and then we got to love people. And we got to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. And we got to honour our brothers and sisters above ourselves. That's a great love. So if you're a newbie, or you're an old gal or an old guy in the Lord, we still have the same common jobs that we got to do. But then you have your individual purpose as well, which is different. So in the book of Ephesians it says, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Walk with integrity. Walk with character. Because when you do that, you can walk over all the powers of darkness. You can trample on serpents and scorpions. But if you ain't walking in the way that he wants you to walk, you don't have the authority to do those things sometimes, you know? And that can be not a nice experience for a person. Now, step four, you got to get trained up. You got to get discipled so that you can disciple other people. And how you get discipled, do not think that you can just have the Holy Spirit and go home and be all alone on your own, like a lone ranger, as Pastor Mike calls them. Don't do that, because you'll only get so far. But you got to be planted somewhere. Because yous are all here, I presume that you're planted here. Even the ladies that came to the encounter, even if it was your first time, get planted somewhere. And if you don't think it's here, then you need to find your house of the Lord where you need to be planted, and stay there and serve there and keep your gifts in there until it's time for you to go out there. But if you want to effectively disciple other people and train them up in the ways of God, you have to be disciple first. You got to know what you're on about. Because if you're preaching stuff to other people but you don't know, then you're just a loud gong. So get trained up. Find yourself a good church where you want to be. This church is good. This church is good. And don't just do the Sunday thing. That's important though. You got to do the Sunday thing, but don't just do that, because you got to attend like men's groups, women's groups, you know, youth groups, connect groups, those type of things, because you also get trained up there. And be careful who you're following, because, you know, there's like Joyce Meyer, Alexander Pagani, all these mean-ass preachers and that. And, you know, they're good, godly people. They got good teachings, but don't feast on that stuff off YouTube all the time and online. It's not good, because you got to get your teachings from in the house where you are. Don't go grabbing vision from all over the show, because then you're going to get muddled up and not know whether you're going this way or that way. You got to be wise with what you're up to as well. Okay, so when you get trained up, then you go and train other people. And then you're operating in the area of leadership. But you can start. A good way to start is in the children's church. Yeah, that's where I started. And man, I learned a lot. And Pastor Mike said, the hardest people to teach are the children. He said they were harder to teach than adults. I disagree. I think adults are harder to teach than children. Children just believe everything that you say. They don't challenge. Like when I'm teaching children, they're like, yep, yep. And they're not like, not even Michelle. But I can see some adults, sometimes they're like, you know? But yep. Children's church is a good place to start, but you start with your own household too. You know, husband, wife, children, if they're unsaved, even better, because you can teach them. You know, you can teach them even more. But you've got to train your children up in the way that they should go. That's important. That's your responsibility as a parent. Book of Matthew says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So you teach people what you know. Don't try and teach them something you don't know and you don't understand yet. And there's different people at different levels. So you might know one thing and the person next to you doesn't, but then they might know something and you don't. That's why it's important for us to be connected together, because you can't rely on your own understanding and just the Holy Spirit that you carry. Yeah, he's important, but you can't just go out there on your own, because we're all members of the same body. We need each other to function effectively. Plus, we're stronger all together anyway. We ain't going to take much ground if you're out there by yourself. You also have the task of going out there, laying hands on sick people, healing them, because you have the power to do that. Even raising the dead. you know, all you got to do is believe. But you don't know if they're going to raise back up to life again. But if you believe, just try. You don't know what God's going to do. Hey, this one time, I hit this, I was driving and I accidentally hit this dove. It just came diving out of the sky, hit my van and the feathers went everywhere. And the kids are like, oh, Mum, you hit that bird. And so when I got home, I walked down the street and I went and picked it up. And then we buried it. And I thought, oh, I'm going to try and raise this dead bird back to life. Because, like, I had aroha for the bird. And I thought, oh, I don't know. Like, I have Jesus in me. Resurrection life, because he got raised from the dead. And he lives in you. So you have, if he's in you, then you have the power to raise people from the dead. If you carry him. Anyway, I tried to raise this dove back to life, resurrect it, but it didn't work. But at least I tried. You know, you can try and do, you can try and raise dead people, you don't know. It might work. You got to take your faith to places that, you know, you have, you know, if you want to see God move, you got to take him to places where you've never been before. Because when you walk into the unknown, but you're putting your faith and trust in him, he's going to move. Because everything in the kingdom of God operates on faith. Faith is the currency to everything. You also have the task of feeding hungry people, helping lost people, looking after widows, looking after orphans. All those broken people out there, there's heaps of them. We all got to do that. And you know, you can even help and feed people, and you might be entertaining angels, because that's what the Word of God says. And then, you know, when you get to the other side, he'll say, yes, you know, you fed me, or you came and visited me in jail, stuff like that. Anyway, there is... So that's like the Great Commission. Every believer is part of that, everything that I just mentioned right there. But now there's corporate vision as well. So when you belong to a church, every church has their own vision or mission that they're on for Jesus, and there's different churches all over the place. So this church right here, The vision of this church is the total transformation of Kaikoura and surrounding areas through the power of the gospel. So then, if you're planted in this house, you're part of that vision as well. Then, this church also belongs to a greater movement, Celebration Church. And then they also have a vision too. And you know, they're into training up and discipling people into leadership. Making disciples, leadership level, release them, they go out, bring more people in, reach more people. So then, if you're part of this church, and this church is connected to that one, then you're also a participant in that too, you know? So there's that. And in the book of Psalms, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. So when you come and get planted in a church, you will thrive, because I've thrived in this church. And all of the stuff that I'm telling you today, I'm telling it because I carry that. Because I can't really tell you some things about what doesn't work, but I do know what does work. So when you get planted in a church, you find out what the mission and the vision of that church is, and then you go for that as well. I don't even live in Kaikoura. I was living in Kerikeri for all the way up, about 6 years. Yeah, 6 years we lived in Kerikeri. We were travelling all the way here to church multiple times a week doing stuff. Now we've gone even further. We're in Tako Bay now. But we're still here, and anyway, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, moving on. That's why you got to take notes down. Reference points. So if something like that happens. But that did remind me of something. You got to protect your vision too. When God gives you a personal vision for yourself, you got to protect that with everything that you have. Don't go around telling everybody about the vision that he's given you, because the birds of the air might steal that vision when you release it from your mouth and you let it out there. You got to be careful who you tell that vision to. I'll get onto that soon. Can I please get two males to carry that closer over here? Because I'm going to use that to draw something on as an example. Where everybody can see it.
Up on the stage?
Can everybody see this? No? Oh, yeah, you got to lift it up then. I'm going to draw something for you. This could be you. You need to, after you've discipled, you know, when you've been discipled, then you're ready. You're ready to disciple other people. And I'm going to say, that's me right there. I'll just use that as an example. Okay, so here in this church, when you become a leader, you open up a cell group of your own, which is like a connect group. And you go out and bring other people in to this connect group and you train them up. And, you know, they might come in here, or it might take them a long time to come in, but eventually they'll come in here. Because what you're going to be training and discipling them for will also, when you carry the vision of this church, they'll automatically be drawn to this one too. But the purpose is just to train them up on the things of God. So I opened up this young girls cell group in about February or March last year. And I had one daughter of mine in this group. This is for the teenage girls. I had another daughter in the group. Another daughter. I've only got three, so all three of them were in there. Then I had, Keisha, Kira, Cavalier, Jalissa, my niece. We got Sophia, another niece. Lucy, another niece. Then we got some girls in the church here, our church whānau. We got Bella, Rachel, Rebecca, Delilah. We got Hilda Jean. We got Danielle and Oceane. Wow, that actually looks like more than I thought. It grew really fast. Anyway, all these girls, I'm training up in the things of God and I'm teaching them everything that I know. And then they're going to get to a point where they've been trained and they're ready to be released into leadership too. Last week that happened. This girl over here, Danielle, she got promoted into leadership. So now she is a cell group leader. Now she's going to combine with another leader, and they're going to open up their own cell group. So they've got friends, they've got family, and they're going to have other people coming in too. And the whole process of this is going to repeat. So they're going to train up these ones. And then so on and so forth. But I'll tell you what else happens. This weekend in the encounter, oh, hang on, I missed another girl. I just remembered her, my other niece, Atereidea. Okay, this weekend, we go to the encounter. Atereidea over here brings in Jay. And Jay is also a part of this as well now. So she just recently came a couple weeks ago into the cell group, brought by Atereidea. Atereidea brings Jay to the woman's encounter. Now, Lucy, my niece over here, she started coming to the girls' group over maybe 2 months ago. And her stepmom, who is actually my cousin, is right over there. By the way, this is her first day at church. So she comes in. And there's also other people that are going to come off all of these girls. They're going to start bringing people in, either into the group or into the church or into the kingdom. They might go elsewhere. They might not come to this church, but they'll come into the kingdom. And then these ones that are getting promoted to leadership, they're going to start opening up these other groups, and there's going to be heaps of people. That can only be achieved if you are walking in your calling. And you're all capable of that multiplication, but the multiplication comes through obedience to God. So you've got to be obedient to God if you want the fruit of souls being added to the kingdom through you. But you're all capable of doing that. Now, there's one more thing that I want to add to this. So this is a model that our church here, we follow this model, and this is a celebration model as well, and it's a good model because I've seen that work. But this also, I saw this work in another way. So we got Celebration Church Christchurch here. And then it opens up heaps of other churches. Alison, how many churches does Celebration have? Like over 20? Way over 20. So Celebration Christchurch, way over 20 others. Now we're going to call this one, this is Heart of the North, Celebration Church Kaikui, which is this very church here. Then they birth out a church in Katikati. And then they birth out a church in Taco Bay. So that Taco Bay one, there were women in the weekend that knew about the Taco Bay one, but they didn't actually know that I was part of that picture. So I'm helping to run that Taco Bay one. And that's the multiplication model there. That can happen with every single one of yous, having heaps of people coming through you. So now we're going to go on to individual, personal vision. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So God wants to do great, mighty works in you. And the things that he wants to do through you is to add value to you and other people. And then you're going to go and add value to other people as well. But there are things that can block you from even receiving personal vision. So personal vision is when the Holy Spirit shows you something that you're going to be doing for him in the kingdom while you're here on earth. He's going to give you a vision that's a mission, and it's going to be a mighty work for him, and it's going to bring heaps of people in and get them blessed and get them set free, freedom, everything like that. It's all good stuff. This kind of vision is revelation of God and his word. So it comes through revelation of God and his word. So there can be false visions as well that you can see, and you might think and feel that it's God, but it might not be. You got to ask yourself, how did that vision come to be? Be careful who speaks vision into your life as well. Is their walk straight? Do they have integrity? Are they on for the Lord? Because if they are, if you trust their ministry and who they are, then you can trust their word of what they say. Anyway, in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not that many visions. So the vision is a revelation of God and his word. And you can trust it if you're receiving your personal vision through prayer time. Like if you're in prayer with God and you receive a vision of yourself doing something, you can trust that one. If you've just come out of prayer and you get a vision, you can trust that one. Reading the word, stuff like that, meditating in God, spending time with him in his presence. When you receive a revelation, you can trust that. There's also mighty men and women of God that can speak into you. They might see a vision of you and they can bring it to you. Now, the vision, the personal vision, is usually really out the gate. It's something really far out. So far out that ain't you right now. But why he gives it to you is to give you something to look forward to and something to aim for, to help you walk in your purpose, walk in your calling here, besides all the other stuff previously mentioned. This is your personal destiny for him. So you have to believe, even if it's really far out. If you can believe that that's you and that's what he has for you, he'll help you to walk that out. But it will take time. It doesn't happen like tomorrow, usually. Well, some things do, but your personal destiny that he shows you usually takes a bit of time. You can also block that. How would you block it? You can block not receiving any personal vision for yourself. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. You need revelation from God about who he is, his word, what he wants to accomplish in you. It's important because you can't even achieve that vision, that personal vision, if you don't have revelation from him. You need revelation is important. But so if you end up in a bad shape and you're going to and fro, you don't know what you're up to, you're actually going backwards. You have a lack of self-control, which is restraint, a lack of restraint. It could be, not saying it is, but it could very well be, an indication that you have no revelation in that current period of time of whatever you need to, he's trying to reveal to you, that can stop you from seeing good things ahead. But you have to know that God wants good things for you, every single one of you. And there is a personal vision. So think back in time. What has he said to you? What has he shown you that he wants to do through you? And then you got to protect and guard that vision. So I remember 3 years ago, I started working for the Youth Trust in Kerikeri in alternative education, working with at-risk youth. And I didn't think, my plan was never to work with children. It wasn't. It was to work with food. I wanted to own a food business, and a lot of people that know me would know that that was actually my life goal a few years ago, but it ain't no more. Making food isn't as important to me as working with at-risk youth and loving them and showing them an example of God's love in action, helping them in their struggles, helping to bring them and their families out of bad ways. So anyway, I was in a stagnant place about 3 years ago. So I was stay-at-home mum, wasn't working, and I was just staying home every day in this repetitive cycle of just cleaning the house, being a mum and a housewife. That has purpose, and if God's calling you to do that and only that in your personal life, then that's all good. That's what you're being called to do, and he'll use you mightily. But for me, he wanted more. He wanted to do more. But I was being spiritually lazy, staying home, housebound, not really breaking out of that, because he had more purpose for me. But I was keeping myself locked in. Anyway, I'm praying to him, oh, Lord, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of staying home, doing the same thing. Nah, I want more purpose in my life. Then I start looking for a job. And I'm praying to him, and I'm like, I want a job where, one, I can help people, because I love helping people. Two, it's got to be close to my home in Kirikiri. Three, it's got to be within the right school hours, because my kids were all at school, and I didn't want no transport issues, and I didn't want any childcare issues. Anyway, I see this advertisement on Facebook, and it was for a tutor working with youth. And when I read it, something inside of me connected with that. And then I started reading the job description, and I actually saw myself working in that place with them. But I never saw that before. It was only when I saw the advertisement and I started reading and believing, oh, that could be me. And I wanted it to be me. And I felt drawn to that. Anyway, I applied, and it turns out the lady there, so we work with this other Christian couple, and the boss, his wife actually saw my testimony somewhere online years ago, and she started praying, Lord, I declare that I'm going to work with this woman with youth one day. She hadn't even met me. I didn't even know her. So I turn up at the interview, and she's like, all happy and excited, and she's talking to me like I got the job, but she wasn't even the boss. Her husband was the boss. And then I started thinking, hey, this lady's talking to me like I got the job. Anyway, they ring me back afterwards and say I've got the job. And it was within school hours. It was just down the road from my house, like 5 minutes drive. And it was helping people. So everything that I asked for, anyway, I start working there, and 2 months in, I have a dream, and this dream is, I was looking at a document, and it had the logo of the trust that I work for, like a letterhead, and then at the bottom it had Michelle Huani Heihei, Impact Northland Trust, manager. That's what it said on it. And when I woke up, I was like, I said to Brian, bro, the Lord's going to make me the manager over there. And he goes, hey, and I said, nah, man, I felt it, because that wasn't my plan. It wasn't my plan. But when he revealed that to me, I had something to look forward to. And I believed it. I believed that he wanted me there in this management position. So I keep working there, and it's about maybe 12 or 14 months after I had that vision that it came to pass. And I got promoted into that management position. But I had to protect that vision. The only person I told was my husband. And then there was like 2 other people I sort of mentioned a little bit to. But no, the Holy Spirit was telling me to protect that vision, because the birds of the air might bloomin' steal it. You know, when you release words, they go out into the atmosphere. But the birds of the air, they can steal it. And then it doesn't come true, you know, if you're going to go around telling everybody, oh, I had this vision and the Lord's going to do this and that in me, but it hasn't happened yet, be careful. Protect it. Because a season will come when it's going to happen. Then anyway, Brian joined our team last year, so now he's working with us, and that's really good. But there is another part of that vision that I saw, but I won't be revealing what that is. I saw something else with me in that place, and I'm going to guard that one and just wait until it's the right season for that to happen. But there were hard times. I encountered some real struggles in the workplace back then, and I felt like quitting, and I thought, oh no, stuff this, these teenagers are too hard, they're like running all over me, they're like mean, savage, little savages. But not just that, there were other issues too, and I endured like real hardship and tough times, and I felt like abandoning that workplace. But if I did that, I would be abandoning the mission that he put me on. So you must know that whatever vision that God's put in you for you to accomplish in your walk with him, if you believe that it's of him and it's his will, you have to stay the course, even when times get hard. You have to, because if you walk away off that path, the path that he's leading you on, and somewhere along that path is the vision, and the season will be birthed for you to achieve that. But if you go off the path and you try and take a shortcut this way or go down another road, that vision, it's not going to be fulfilled. And then you're not achieving the purpose that he has for you in that area of your life. So you've got to stay the course. Be strong. He'll help you, because he helped me through all of that hardship. And now it's just a blessing because I get to work with my husband, but we're helping people. And in the workplace even, you can have such influence on the people you work with. I led one girl to the Lord, one of my students. Yes, I broke Minister of Education protocol. I didn't, like, I'm not like a rule breaker, because you know you shouldn't go around breaking rules. But this one, again, the Lord gives me a vision and I have a dream about this particular female student of mine, and she comes to me crying. And I wake up and I say to Brian, and I only share the stuff with Brian because he's my witness to God giving me the dreams, and I'm like, this is gonna happen. And then he's my witness when I say it's going to happen, and it happens. Hey, bro. Anyway, this girl comes to me in my dream. The Holy Spirit gives me this dream. She comes to me crying in a broken state. And I says to him, something's going to happen with that girl, but it's going to be amazing. 2 weeks later, it actually happens. I'm in the classroom and she comes to me crying and she's broken. And then I felt the Holy Spirit, because I forgot all about that dream after that. And then he remembered, like I remembered the dream in that exact moment when I saw her there, because I was only worried about her. I wasn't thinking about no vision. And then I remembered the dream and I felt the Holy Spirit say, move now. And then I preached the gospel to her. She got saved. But she needs to be nurtured. She needs to be trained up in the ways of the Lord so that this can happen, and then people will come off her. I think I'm going to leave it at that. But anyway, today I want you to think about, what vision has God given you before that hasn't been fulfilled yet? Because that is going to help you stay on track. That's your goal. You got to walk towards that, because that's what he wants for you. And I really feel that the Lord wants to do some powerful things in here today. So I'm just going to leave it at that, because I think I've talked enough. Yep, kia ora.
Bless you, Michelle. Awesome. We'd just love to pray for people who like the woman who've gone to the encounter, obviously. But if that word's really spoken to you, we'd just love to pray for you as well. And just talking to Michelle before, she just felt like there'd be a real release of prophecy today. So there'll be, I'm sure Holy Spirit will give the leaders, the team, Mike, prophetic words. So if you would really like to have some ministry, some prayer this morning, I'd just like to invite you up. And if the team could come up to lay hands on people and just see the words that Holy Spirit gives you for them to, so if the team could come up first. Thank you. And thank you. Awesome. Is there any the rest of my team? Is that all my team? Yeah, that's us. Yeah. So if we could all stand, and if you were at the encounter, if you'd come up, we'd just like to lay hands on you, pray for you as you go. And if you anybody else who wanted prayer, you're most welcome to come up. Thank you. And if we could have the worship team up, that would be awesome. Thank you.